Here, while we experiment before we try that.
All right, let's try this.
Oh, we have a quick experiment.
These are my friends on the podcast. They want to talk to you about Transformers. You can just talk. They'll hear you.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Oh, you're so cute. What's your name, dear?
Leia.
Leia, and how old are you?
3 or 4.
3 or 4?
No, 3 or 4.
Oh, okay. And what do you like about I'm very funny. what do you like about Transformers?
I got my own Transformers called Bulkhead, and I'm with Prime and Prowl and Bumblebee. Dang, I got my own Transformers, right?
Yes, you do.
Called Bulkhead.
She's so adorable. Oh my god.
Lots of them.
And which ones do you have besides Bumblebee Prowl?
The Willow.
I'm sorry.
I got Bumblebee and Amos Prime and Bulkhead and Prowl and Bumblebee. See?
Ah, okay. And what
the
do you.
The Willow. Wait, this Willow.
Why don't you tell them all about the Transformers?
Okay.
Tell us
they're about. Whoops.
Tell us about the Transformers, Leia.
They're not real, but they're the 10.
Optimus Prime an Autobot or a Decepticon?
Autobot.
Who are the Autobots?
Transformers.
Transformers from, Leia?
From the door.
who's your favorite?
Autumn.
Same here.
Okay. And who's the bad guy?
Megatron.
Megatron, and he's evil, right? He's scary.
Yeah, he was in Transformers. He was in the show.
And what's your favorite episode?
Transformers.
Okay. Okay, thank you, dear. I appreciate you coming on. Can I talk to your daddy now?
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Goodbye.
Bye. Oh, my God. That's radio gold right there. She's so cute.
Oh, yeah.
I want a little girl so bad.
Podcast. I'm your host, Iron High 1975, and this is going to be actually the second to last show because unfortunately Z Piper is unable to make it. So what we're going to do is this show, we're going to tell you all the news, and then the last show, which we'll be recording this coming weekend, will feature retrospectives and of course our farewell thoughts and all that jazz. But nevertheless, we have a full house and we have the return, the giant, the juggernaut, the man himself, which we have to ask him, what's going on with playing with sticks in school? It's Weevum.
Hello, everybody. I return. I am alive.
He's alive. A little bit muffled on Skype, but either way, he is there. And right underneath him is the guy with the most adorable daughter in the world. It's Ender.
It's Ender. It's 18th century French Huguenot.
And then we have the transitional man, the man taking the baton. We have from Radio Free Cybertron, Mr. Brian Kilby.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going good.
Excellent. Yep. Glad to have you.
Yep. Going all right. Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get a harumph out of him.
Harumph. So talking about.
I had to say it because he's not here.
Well, Z unfortunately is working tonight, but like I said, we will be doing the next show on basically this weekend, whatever it works for him. And basically, we'll try and conclude this, hand it off to Brian. And Brian, at that point, it's all yours, man. Good luck.
I'm going to screw it all up. So
don't screw it up. So, and we'll get more into, you know, the fans and whatnot. Needless to say, it's been interesting to see everybody's comments, and then of course Brian jumping right in there with the replies and stuff. It's like, oh yes, Brian is in the forums too. People, be nice.
Oh yeah.
So, all right.
When you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't actually sleep myself, so I actually watch everyone else. So maybe 2 hours.
Yeah, I got some sleep back in the 80s once or twice. It was kind of cool.
Brian Kilby doesn't sleep. He just waits for time to pass. Or something like that. I can't remember the exact quote from the Chuck Norris stuff.
It's Brian Kilby doesn't sleep. He waits.
Yeah. Well, see, that would be, you know, typical me. I just screw the cliches up. But anyhow.
That's okay.
Let's not screw up the news, because we have big news this week. We have the announcement of BotCon, and it's being held in 2010 in this place called Walt Disney World.
Where dreams come true.
Where in June 24th. So, unfortunately, the people of BotCon still have not listened to my advice that Columbus is the best town for conventions. And heck, we got a convention center that's completely whacked in terms of architecture. And they decided to go to the place where all the little kids – well, heck, wait a minute. That makes sense now.
Did your recommendation say whacked? Because that might explain it.
Yeah.
Actually, it is weird, because our convention center in Columbus, literally the architecture is like everything is at an angle. It's like – Picasso built the convention center. It's really weird. But that being said, Columbus is a great town for convention stuff. But news to say, BotCon 2010, the announcement of the Transformers Collectors Club that is coming has now arrived. 2010 will take place at Walt Disney World Dolphin Hotel and Convention Center from June 24th to the 27th. Somebody's ringer. I'm going to shoot the phone.
I did, actually.
Reservations for the resort. Bang,
bang. Hazards of my mother's house. I'm very sorry.
That's okay. Convention information.
Already disconnect the phone.
I did.
February 1st, 2010. So remember to dial back to T-Formers, then we will bring you the information. And the recent news is, hey, the rooms are going quick. So if you want a room there, but I'll tell you right away, there are a ton of hotels at Walt Disney World. And if you want really the best place, I recommend the Polynesian Resort. We did the Polynesian 1 year. We went with my family, and then I think we did like the there was another one that. Make sure you get one with monorail access is the biggest tip I can give you. So yeah, go to the Polynesian and then go over to the Dolphin where the convention will be held, and go check it out and all that jazz. Guys, your thoughts?
I want to go back to Walt Disney World.
Brian, I think you're the closest to it, if I'm correct, right?
About 9 hours, yeah. This is probably the second closest BotCon's ever been to me. The closest was Durham NC, which is the way I drive, an hour and a half away. But, I've actively avoided Florida my whole life. So for 30 years, I've actually made a point never to go to Florida. And I hate that I have to go, but I'm looking forward to it.
What did Florida do to you?
It's full of old people and it's hot.
And it rains every day.
It's humid too, yeah.
We're going to get wet. Florida is like the never-ending water ride.
Really? My grandma had a house there and it was pretty sunny most of the time we went there.
Was she old?
For an hour or two every day for whatever reason. The sky opens up and like biblical proportions of rain pour out.
Are you sure
for no reason.
With a hurricane was there, Ender?
No. I was at Disney World. I was at Disney World. Let me tell you, the magic will not protect you.
Well, all I can say is my grandma had a house there for many years, and the biggest threat was the red ants. Those scared me. So,
oh, we have those here. I mean, that's not a big deal. It's just that Florida's full of bad drivers.
Yes.
Florida, it's full of bad drivers everywhere. But Okay.
Well, the Floridians actually drive up to, you know, during the summer, they come up where I'm at because it's cooler. And they sort of infest North Carolina. I wish they would stay in Florida.
Yeah, but you could just sort of fly in there and they get an escort to Walt Disney World. And then once you're in Walt Disney World, you don't really have to drive anywhere. You just ride the monorail.
Yeah, but you have to get in a car at some point, and then you're at like the mercy of the geriatric community.
But I'm sure you'll get a sign that says Mr. Kilby on it, and get into the back of the limo, you know, have your nice gin and tonic, take it easy.
No, I'm always a walk-in at BotCon. I have never gone to BotCon with money, and I don't intend to go this year with money. I have made going to BotCon on the cheap into an art.
Oh, good. Nice. Then where are some tips?
Sleeping is optional. seriously. You can get by napping for 15 minutes at a time in the lobby. We'll go as a walk-in.
Where do you go when they close the conference room? You just hang out at the bar?
Yeah, the lobby. Seriously, I have literally spent all night in the lobby just goofing off. So, I mean, that's totally doable.
See, if I got sleep deprived at BotCon, I'd like wake up 2 days later and be like, where did I get this lucky draw? Oh, man.
Well, all I can say is if you are at the bar, don't run into Pierre Cullen, because I heard if you run into him at the wrong time, he's a testy drunk. So,
but Greg Lombardo is great.
Yes, Greg Lombardo from Ender's Experience is great. So,
and so is the design teams. They were good drinking companions.
If I make it this year, Andrew, you're going to introduce me to a ton of people.
And they won't remember who I am, but that's okay, because I'll act like they do.
That's okay. I'll rely on your great schmoozing skills.
Schmoozing is a matter of walking around like you own the place. Then everything's fine.
Exactly. There you go.
Anyhow, well, there you go, folks. BotCon 2010 Walt Disney World. So moving on to, hey, what'd you guys get for Christmas?
I have two kids, and I experienced the joy of giving.
Did you get any Transformers?
Not from other people.
Aww.
What did you get your kids? What Transformers-related things did you get your children?
Actually, not much this year because it was all movie jive. I did get all that stuff. Yes, yeah. Actually, well, I've skipped most of the movie stuff. But anything animated they already had. I got Supreme Class, that Optimus Prime, the big giant animated one.
The rollout.
Yeah, they had the weekend, not the Saturday and Friday, but the Sunday of Black Friday after that. They had those on sale at Toys R Us for $25.
Yep.
So I snagged one of those for my daughter, and I tossed three into the Toys for Tots.
Aw.
That was awesome.
I got Red Color Power Glide for my birthday.
Oh, you were jonesing for that one.
So here's my story. So then I got Titanium Cheetor, which I was impressed with my sister. But then if you could pick the absolute worst toy from the first movie, what would be the worst toy you could get somebody from the first movie?
Oh.
I really don't like the original deluxe Bumblebee. That's kind of a crappy toy.
Okay, close. Thank you.
Oh, the first. So when you say the first movie, I think 87.
No, you just the first movie a couple years ago. What?
I just spent $1,000 on the crappiest figure ever. Aww.
Well, basically, I got Jazz from the first movie.
Was it final battle Jazz?
No, it's the regular Jazz, and so it's one of those things where you open and you go, great, thank you.
You're wearing one of those fake smiles. Yeah, thank you so much.
and when you get that toy this year, you know that means they found it at the Walgreens leftover.
Well, so what I did is I'm like, you know what? It ain't a complete Christmas until I get every Transformer I want. So I went to the place we don't speak of and got Skyfall and Hardhead. And I thought they were going to be $60. Surprise, they were on sale for $15. So I saved myself $30 and I completed, once again, until they release any more repaints, I've completed my Classics collection. So.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know they dropped them to $15.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh.
You've been dropping it mad recently, I think.
I didn't even know it till they rung me up, and I'm like, oh, I just saved $30. I feel much more happy today.
It was included with... But I suppose you could call this a gift. Jack gave me his squeeze and blow Optimus Prime that I requested on this show several weeks ago.
Oh, really?
a what?
The squeeze and blow Optimus Prime. Ender, retell that story.
Okay, the squeeze and blow Optimus Prime is, they still make squeeze and blow toys to this day, mind you.
Sounds really disgusting. But
doesn't it? I'm not making this up. This is not me. Basically, the way they work, it's like a bubble blower, but you know the little wand that comes in there? It's in some kind of mechanism, so you unscrew the top and you squeeze the bottle, and the little bubble blower pops out of the top. Whoa. And then it's covered in goop, and you blow the bubbles through it.
So you blow Optimus Prime? Is that?
Well, only after removing his head.
Ender, we need video of this.
Blow the inside of Optimus Prime? I can't picture this. Let me look it up.
You remove Optimus Prime's head, and you see his little robot, and the little bubble wand pops out of his decapitated neck.
Like and to remind our listeners, send your hate mail for inappropriate content to Weevum and Ender, care of tformers.com.
I am describing a perfectly innocent toy from 1984 sold to children.
Brian, I'm sure your show
and
will
a brand that extends to this very day.
Brian, I'm sure your show will be a lot more less of this inappropriate content.
I don't know. Rob is kind of insane, so I try to keep him leashed, but I think we're actually giving him his own show eventually.
Oh God.
Yeah,
he's going to be the Howard Stern of Transformers Radio.
Yeah.
No, we already had that. Thankfully, they closed shop. Sorry.
I'm so new to this. I don't even know what he's talking about. But SmackDown.
SmackDown. So, all right, let's move on to some. Speaking of smacking down, let's smack down some toy news. And the first. That made no sense. Oh, I'm delirious.
Was a great segue.
let's talk about new Transformers War for Cybertron concept art images. And, I'm just going to randomly pick a Weevil to read this.
Oh, yay.
Well, you're first on my little Skype list. So
Anthony, Segway is a city in Paraguay.
Go ahead, Weevil.
So basically, after speaking with the High Moon Studio designers that are making the Transformers War for Cybertron game, Game Informer posted up some concept images, basically showing off Iacon and some other Optimus Prime designs and Decepticon designs. So basically what they're doing is we're not really sure how they're actually going to work all these designs in, but they did say that they will be turning into Cybertron into a compelling setting that gamers care about.
Wow, this looks beautiful from the concept images.
Pretty sweet.
Whoever did these has a great understanding of perspective.
Well, during that said interview, they actually said that they went back to the G1 source material. They looked at all the comics. They looked at all everything that they could possibly find on Cybertron, and then they just kind of modified it to make it a little bit more modern. But basically, they said that they got a lot of their references from Generation 1.
So before I go off on my, I did get the Transformers video game. Before I go off on my experience with that, what do you guys think of this?
Well, I think it's really clear, and they've said this a couple of times now, that I think a big feature of this game is going to be the environments in Cybertron itself. I think it's one of the things they're really trying to advance that even Hasbro, I think, kind of feels like they haven't explored well enough in the past, Cybertron itself. And I think it's going to be one of the real shining things in this game. And these just kind of highlight that.
Yeah.
Brian?
Yeah. The concept art is, it's parts of it are a little trippy. In a good way, like the one that shows like the sort of like a bridge into I'm assuming that's Iacon, but I mean the art is really pretty. But as far as a game goes, I mean I reserve all judgment until I actually play the game. I mean, you know, art's one thing and gameplay mechanics are entirely different.
Right, right.
But currently they are going in what many would consider the right direction so far.
Yeah, I'm just trying to. Yeah, I'm just trying to judge what they've given us at this point. I feel like, yeah, you know, the game, anytime up until you have a controller in your hand and you're playing the thing, it could all fall to pieces. But in terms of what they've given us, I haven't seen anything bad so far, so I don't see anything to complain about. I mean, giving them the benefit of the doubt that they are not, in fact, making a bad game, this is good.
Well, it seems like they're actual fans that are making this game that compared to some of the previous, you know, endeavors that we've seen. But
yeah, they know what Transformers are, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we could certainly be getting images and info back from Activision that was making us slap our foreheads already. It's not like that hasn't happened before where we were 10 minutes into it going like, oh, why are you doing that?
So speaking of slapping my foreheads, I finally got a Transformers video game for my new PlayStation 3, which, by the way, I'm Ironhide_1975 if you want to join me.
Which should have been Xbox 360, but I digress. Continue.
No, Microsoft. Die, Microsoft.
I don't digress. I agree.
So looks beautiful, amazing detail, but I cannot get the camera movements down the way I'm like either going up too far, down too far. It's like half the time I'm trying to control my character and half the time I'm trying to just look in the right direction. So am I doing something wrong or is it just me?
Well, there's this thing called skill. Evidently you don't possess it, but if you keep playing, eventually you will.
I don't know, it's like I'm
you've been playing too much Mega Man.
Well, I know that's the thing. I look at Mega Man. Mega Man, even though it's Mega Man 9 is kicking my butt, it seems, as you know, slow enough. This one's like I'm like, wait, dude, wait, slow down, wait a minute. Oh, I'm not looking in the right direction. Oh, I'm not aiming in the right direction. I'm like, I'm like, it's like too fast for me, and I'm like, oh my god, I've gotten old.
What you should do is stop moving the right joystick.
Just stop moving the right joystick at all?
Yeah. Because that controls the camera as well.
Okay.
And so just try your best not to shift that thing around too much.
Can you still move with that though?
See, it's your look and your up and down. So the trouble is you need to just focus on your right to left movement on it so you can steer.
Yeah.
But what you're having trouble with is you're jerking it up and down.
Right.
And you can't see anywhere. And that phrase just goes right in with the squeeze and blow. I don't
know. What you're doing is you're losing control of your finger, you know, the old age. So the nerves are kind of
You know what? That is actually probably not too far off because it's just I don't know. I changed the sensitivity on the controller a little bit and within the settings of the program. That's seen out a little bit, but I'm trying to play Ironhide on the first level, and it's like I can't look in the right direction to save my butt. It's like no, over there. No, Ironhide. Gosh darn it! And then I'm like being shot from behind, and I'm just like, it was a pitiful sight. So I definitely feel like I need to at least go through the tutorial again and just.
You're getting your butt kicked on this, and you're getting your butt kicked in Mega Man.
Well, Mega
Man's absurdly hard.
Yeah, Mega Man 9 is really hard. I mean, even for a Mega Man game. It took me a while to get my trigger finger back, but I finally got my trigger finger back and was able to actually get somewhere. But, whoosh, man, I don't know. I might be getting old, but the Transformers game looks beautiful. I want to play it, but I just keep. Can't seem to look in the and then the guy's climbing the guy's climbing the building. I'm like, oh crap! And then I get up there, he's jumping.
We all have to face it. We're gonna get old and we're gonna suck at video games. And kids who are like a tenth our age will be playing things we've been playing for years better than us.
Kid can probably kick your butt in the game right now.
No, but my sister can, and she's like 16. She can just because a couple of kids in, like, I don't get to play that much anymore. I'm totally out of practice. I got no game anymore. My daughter, who Leia, she can already play, like, fairly, you know, like basic arcade games. She can play Ninja Turtle games.
Yeah.
She'll like sit around and play Marvel Legends. She's 3.
I'll sit around and play my MAME cabinet because 16-bit and 24 – well, there's really no 24-bit gaming, really. 16-bit gaming is about as far as I went. And once they went to 32 bits, I'm like,
You have a full MAME cabinet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you lucky.
Do you want pictures? No,
it took time. It's on my Flickr page. I'll gladly provide a link.
Oh, no, please do.
Okay, yeah, well, no, it's just time.
Did you build it or did you, like, get one?
No, I built it.
Oh, I'm so dying to do that. That's like one of my big construction dreams in
Okay, so if you would like to donate to Ender's MAME cabinet project, send your donations to...
And if you'd like to donate to Ender's carpentry skill...
All right, well...
send your fingers to...
All right, well... wow, there's really no way to transition to the next story.
Well, there's another story.
Yeah, there's another story. So let's go on to the next story. Ender, if you would, please. All right, who held that call?
What did you do? What happened?
I'm here.
All of a sudden said, called, held remotely. I'm like, held remotely? I'm the damn host.
Uh-oh. I've been disconnected a couple times, so I've been sort of quiet.
Yeah, if you get disconnected, I'll just re-add you. So, I enter the next story, please.
Okay. Fans Project shows up. Hello?
Hello? You're good.
Yeah,
you're good. You're good.
I'm good. I'm
yeah,
good.
You're good.
I'm good. All right. Start. Fans Project shows off Explorer TF-02 Crossfire, the Bruticus Maximus add-on. Fans Project has been busy working on their Warbot Defender figure, but that has not stopped them from announcing a new project. Teased earlier this month as the TF Crossfire 02, the team has dubbed the Space Shuttle piece of the add-on Explorer, which attaches to the right arm of the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen Bruticus Maximus mold, which itself is a repaint of the Transformers Energon and Universe classics. Well, you ever get the feeling they're going to get, like, all the titles together where it's going to be, like, Transformers Fallen Energon Cybertron Disguised Robots 0572.
Super Deluxe like, Chinese Buffet.
You now have a new job, Ender. Yeah. You have a new job. You will create the shorthand of the entire repaint series.
I know. It's going to be like Crap 1, Crap 7.
Welcome to Ender's.
Good
Crap A, Section B.
Welcome to Ender's. Is it crap or does it suck?
Episode number 3,524.
It still sucks. The images show a rendering of the alternate and robot mode of the Explorer's space shuttle, fully painted, as well as the unpainted prototypes and additional add-on pieces interacting with Onslaught.
So, yeah.
Space shuttle.
Collective, yeah.
So we keep getting these fans projects trying to make all these Revenge of the Fallen characters into the original G1 characters. Is that what this is? It's basically Blastoff?
Yeah, it's Blastoff.
Yeah.
It's Blastoff and it's some add-ons to make Onslaught look more like Onslaught. You know what I wish at this point, the more I look at these things, and they are increasing in quality and quantity. I wish Hasbro would just talk to these guys first when they're going to do a classics figure. Break down and hire these people, because it's like these routine improvements on what you're making by amateurs are making all of Hasbro look stupid.
Yeah, but see, I think Hasbro's just trying to figure out, well, we're just going to find some ways to just, reuse these molds. I mean, I don't think they're particularly just like, how else can we make more money in this mold that we've already designed?
Right, the mold costs enough as it is already. They probably don't want to...
Well, these ones in particular are older molds, but I mean, a lot of the stuff that's coming out is for newer things or for classics line things or universe, I guess now it is. And what the heck? I mean, like, when the amateurs are doing better than you, like, shouldn't you be talking to these people?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Brian.
I don't see that the amateurs are doing better. I mean, they're making modifications, but you can make modifications into anything. I mean, saying that it's better is subjective. I mean, I don't necessarily think that they're making it better.
Yeah, I mean, the Cybertron line and the Energon line toys I thought sucked to begin with. It's like trying to polish a turd.
Well, I think it might define better is like people are willing to pay 15 times what you charge for your toys for these add-ons and improvements.
How many people, though? If 20 people buy it, I mean, that's not like it's worth having.
Well, but isn't some of that the difference of cost of manufacturing?
It's a what?
I'm speaking a little, some of this is hyperbole. I'm just saying, we keep seeing these things out of these people that are getting to be more and more of quality. Kind of wonder... why if instead of, well, I guess they haven't been threatening to sue them. I'm really surprised they haven't, but instead of that threat, not be like, why don't we just hire these people?
Hey, Brian, you got cut off. You were in the middle of
yeah.
say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't even know.
No, he lost his connection. It wasn't you, Ender.
Yeah, it's not Ender. No, I didn't disconnect because of Ender. I mean, I survived XV. I can handle it.
He survived XV. His now his latest challenge will be, can he survive level Ender?
18th century French Huguenot.
See, I, you know, when I saw your screen name originally, I was just thinking of Ender's Game. So now I know.
Zone of Ender?
The Zone of... That should be a video game. The Zone of Ender.
Yeah.
All right, so any other thoughts on these enhancements? I mean, props to the people creating them, but I really don't like the Cybertron toys to begin with. And every time they try to repaint them and put them on the movie line, I'm like, nope, I ain't falling for it.
Yeah, that entire trilogy line was just...
I bought Classics Devastator, and that was a piece of crap.
That whole set from Armada on was pretty meh, but that makes it at least three steps above the movie.
Well, it was like it's like after Cybertron, it was like Cybertron, Armada, Cybertron, and what's the third one?
Energon.
It's all like they try to put too much detail in the actual character, but not enough in the actual design aesthetic. And then all of a sudden, Classics came along. It's like, oh my god, actual design aesthetics into the actual toy again, and less stupid. We don't need it to be like Star Wars, where you have intricate details of the X-wing fighter. It's like, no, just give me a panel that can actually fit with another panel reasonably well when it transforms.
Right, and that doesn't weigh like 90 pounds.
Exactly. Yeah, we're not talking like Beast Wars Neo, at least, where you know they're all shell formers.
Beast Wars, what's that? I'm kidding. All right, so on to
pretty soon we'll get Transformers War of the Bricks.
That was G1.
I think that was
Metal G2. Bricks.
Death. Guys, no articulation here. All right, so Brian, you get to read about
Transformers. They'll poke out your eye.
Brian, you get to read about Back to War of Cybertron video game. Why Starscream wants to overthrow Megatron?
War for Cybertron to explore why Starscream wants to overthrow Megatron. Game Informer has already given up the goods on the Transformers War for Cybertron, Megatron, and Optimus Prime through their character profiles, and today they've provided their final profile with a look at the ever-scheming Starscream. The prequel will deal with a question that many Transformers fans, not me, have been asking for 25 years. Why does Starscream want to overthrow Megatron so much?
Why does Starscream want to overthrow Megatron?
Why does the sun rise in the morning? Just
exactly.
He's got an ego problem. I think the designer here, this is probably the best design Starscream I've ever seen. Once again, I think this is what the movie aesthetic should have been. But, you know, obviously they went a little bit too over the edge. But I'm loving the Cybertron Starscream.
I like
it's kind of got an Armada look to it, sort of almost, kind of. Plus Energon a little bit.
Cooler looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got the animated wings rocking, though. The Cyclonus wings.
Yeah, is that feasible? I would have to think that...
No, of course not.
Yeah, I have to think that jets could not fly like that.
No.
Well, X-wings wouldn't make it in a wind tunnel either, but, you know...
I don't think they would make it anywhere.
Yeah, I know.
They wouldn't make it as a paperweight.
Well, X-wings fly in space. That's why they don't fly in... No,
can't they take off from
they have to get out of the atmosphere, though?
Yeah, that's a good point.
We saw them in the atmosphere. No, there's no physics to that.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
There's no hope for physics there. You know, I always sort of harbored this sort of secret notion that Starscream wanted to take over the Decepticons because he was like the ultimate Autobot spy. And if you think about it, it makes sense. I mean, what percentage of the episodes is he the reason the Decepticons lose? He's constantly sabotaging them.
Given that Megatron could be as well because he's incompetent and he's like the remaining reason why they always fail.
I always think that in the movie that like a Starscream stands up there and says, "My fellow Decepticons, as your new leader, he's about to say surrender to the Autobot."
Yeah, what would he do if he was the leader?
What did the Reign of Starscream comment? Did that where he actually? What happened to that? Didn't he actually rule for a while?
I wouldn't say rule. He just was in combat with them. I read that quite some time ago, and I didn't give it my full attention. I have to admit.
I think we need an All Hail Starscream series.
Not in the movie verse, though.
No, not in the movie verse. In the classics verse, but I think.
Yeah. Reign of Starscream was movie verse, so it's kind of.
Right, I'm saying take the classics verse after they get through with all this confusion that they're dealing with right now, and do All Hail Starscream, where Megatron actually disappears for about 15 episodes, and
that's what they're doing now. Megatron's disappeared. Starscream's in charge.
Really?
We just haven't seen anything from it. Yeah.
All right. If we could just get past the different styles of drawing, then we might actually have a good series. So, anyhow. And you know what? And I say all this, and knowing my luck, I'm going to run into Simon Furman or something like that. They'll be like, I remember you.
He just bitch slaps you right across the face. He's been talking smack about my comics.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I give any guys credit, because trying to draw robots in themselves is like the hardest thing to do. But, you know, we're obviously being nitpicky because we're fans, but. You know, I mean, comics in themselves is hard to do, but it's just that I guess, you know, we love these things so much that when we see a face that looks sort of corpse-ish, we're just sort of like, it just doesn't look right. But Bumblebee doesn't look like he should be dead. But we'll get to that when we get to comic news. So any other thoughts on this particular news story here?
I just thought it was interesting that they actually wrote that. Part of his profile actually specified that he felt that Optimus Prime and Megatron both do not have what is best for Cybertron in their hearts.
So that's an
interesting piece of what motivates him in terms of trying to take over.
Because what is best for Cybertron, of course, is unlimited punch and pie for Starscream.
Exactly. What's best for Cybertron is what's best for Starscream.
Megatron, all I wanted was punch and pie. really, start. Wait a minute, doing an Ender, you could do a Megatron voice.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah, you could, but I'm always past. All right, next story, iGear's new project, Decepticon Predaking. The iGear guys just seem to be warmed up at the command center in the mini MP1. Now we got something they've been hitting at. Looks totally king. Predaking, to be exact, judging from the teaser silhouette image that is said to be the new project they're working on in progress. Guessing from the command center backdrop, this is likely to be a Deluxe or Voyager class figure, and only time will tell. Which is a good song by Asia, by the way. sorry. I guess every time I hear that, I hear the keyboard. Anyhow, so...
aside from that other song.
Heat of the Moment?
Yeah.
Yes. Good song. You know, I tried playing that Rock Band last night and failed miserably.
It's okay. We all fail miserably.
And I could swore... Rock, I know, I'm sorry. I played, not Rock Band, Guitar
DJ
Hero.
Hero. Oh, no.
Guitar Hero. Is it me or is it Guitar Hero 10 times harder than Rock Band? Because I seem to fare better than
is.
Rock Band.
It's harder.
So are we talking again about how much you suck at video games?
Yeah. Well, you always got to bring it back to me, so.
Except for I suck at those music games. DJ Hero, I played it a couple times. It kicked my ass, guys.
Really?
Yeah, it kicked my ass. There's like, with the sliding button thing and the slidey and the disc thing and the yellow. No.
I'm not sure Transformer fans are natural DJs.
Well, but it is interesting. They actually made actual record into a video game, a turntable into a video game. I give them props for doing that.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. So all my DJ friends who think that they actually have careers can actually practice. I'm sorry. I know too many guys who have a bunch of records in their house and, you know, they have stereo and they just, it's like, and then it's like the girl who's reading poetry in the corner of somebody's house. It's like, dear.
I'm certain DJ Hero is you know, close to being a DJ as Guitar Hero is actually playing a guitar.
Right.
Probably
on the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Right. So it's the idea. It's supposed to give you the idea of what it's like, but, you know, the people, well, again,
I think most video game playing kids would look at that and be like, what the hell is a record?
Yeah.
Wait, what is a record anyway?
Vinyl. Final answer.
Yeah, all of a sudden, I really want to see a scene, like a good CGI rendered scene of Blaster fighting Soundwave, like with all cassettes out going crazy to like You Spin Me Round. Wouldn't that be awesome? Obsolete audio clash of titans.
Well, it would be nice to actually see them at some point in the series upgrade to a CD, and then of course whatever would be like, you know, an iPod. But although I will say, Brian, the one clip you posted with the Headmaster series with them doing karaoke, I laughed my butt off. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh, I missed that. That sounds awesome.
It's on Facebook.
It's like Hardhead goes up to Blaster. He's like, karaoke. And Blaster's like, I'm drinking. Karaoke. All right. And then Blaster transforms. Wait, at that point, he's like remade in Twin. Was it Twin Cast?
Yeah.
And then Hardhead starts doing this crappy karaoke. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And Wheelie's drunk. I'm like, this is the best Transformers episode ever.
See, I watched all this stuff early on, being a fan, you know, as far as an internet fan goes. I watched all this stuff like 10, 11 years ago. So I take it all for granted that this is all part of Transformers. Transformers always been the serious thing. I'm like, have you ever watched this crap? I mean,
yeah, you know, I really wish I got to get my hands on the Headmaster DVDs because I would really like to watch, or at least download. I know you keep sending me the dub stuff, and I just never have time to watch it. But it always seems to be like the long lost, well done animated version of Transformers.
Not really.
Not animated that well?
No.
No.
I always
not really.
I always kind of this sort of wonder of like, what would it be like if other Transformers series had been first? Like if that had been like the G1 canon, because I do think a lot of what we feel about it is nostalgia.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, it really did get cut off at the right time. I mean, I think they get so much crap about killing Prime. He really endured because they killed him.
I have
now
the answer
he can't
for
be
you.
Gotten rid of.
Go I ahead, have sorry. The answer for you. What it would be if they start off with that? It would be called Transformers Energon, Amada, and Cybertron.
Right, right.
Well, I mean,
although.
Well, I always wonder if those that have survived is what I'm saying.
We're all basically the same age. Now, there are people who are listening to us now that started off with Beast Wars. And to them, G1 is like the 12-inch G.I. Joe figures. Like, that's the old stuff. Who cares about
that?
It
is to me, truthfully. I'm actually not your – I'm younger than you guys. So
I'm sorry. I just assumed.
Oh, that's it.
How old are you, chillin'?
I'm 18 years old.
Well, I mean, the Beast Wars, but see, the Beast Wars, the credit, even though not if the toys necessarily were the best toys, and, you know, they didn't have so much of a play factor, the series was really well-written series.
The series was awesome.
Yeah.
I think in terms of, you know, even Beast Machines, it was, like, in a way, it was kind of convoluted of a story, but at the same
time.
Still
better
than G1. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, G1 was just. Oh, Megatron's going to get this. Cube.
Well, actually, I think Beast Wars really managed to successfully romanticize G1.
Yeah.
Because it held it in awe.
And Beast
Wars is
like a really dark version of that. It's like, yeah, like the romance of Beast Wars. Then you had if we took Transformers and went really dark to a really dark place, that's what you get with Beast Machines.
Right.
Well, that's what G1 fans are always really waiting for is where is the G1 that goes with Beast Wars that really lines up with what that is, as opposed to, you know, the romanticized version of Sunbow.
There are people who, I mean, God, I'm old. Like in 1999 on AltToys Transformers, I posted this long ass thread on about how G1, how Transformers the movie is the greatest movie ever. It's not. But there are people to this day who think that it's Citizen Kane. They can't watch it with adult eyes. It's absurd.
Well, I don't want to go down that tangent and whatnot because it definitely has some great moments in it. But, yeah.
For Transformers, but if you're not a Transformers fan, it's crap.
Well, the great thing about Transformers and movies, it makes you appreciate the animation that you didn't get in the series. So
I'm a Transformers fan, and I still think it's crap, but it's so crap,
me too.
And it's so awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I've watched it like 300 times probably, but I mean, I'm one of the people who can quote it word for word, but it's crap.
So, yeah, you made your own parody.
Say there are some things I would say, I mean, as somebody, I probably do still watch it through kid eyes to some degree. But I also went to film school, and I'm highly critical of every movie.
Yes,
yes, I am. And
oh God,
you're
not, we
you're
know.
Critical they're of fun. Things? I didn't know that, dude. that totally catches me off guard. I'm sorry.
That
continue.
That was a joke.
It's all right. Interrupting me is par for the course. If you manage to do it, you get a brownie.
I know. Ooh, a brownie.
So, but I would say there are a few elements of that movie that are actually very good that are what carry it through for people, I think. I think if it really had nothing to it.
Lifted from Star Wars.
The fan goggles. Even things that aren't from Star Wars. The thing I would specifically cite is mostly the relationship between Unicron and Galvatron and the sort of control thing they have going. The villain versus villain thing there is interesting, and you don't see it that often. And you
lifted from the Emperor versus Darth Vader.
No, because you never. I don't think so at all. Because the Emperor versus Darth Vader, they're only versus for about 7 seconds at the end of.
Well, let me ask you.
Jedi. I mean, what I'm talking about, even like the interaction between Megatron and Unicron in their first meeting, is a really great scene. I mean, find me a scene written better than that, just about anywhere. Well, that's a really great scene. The scenes of Galvatron, retaking the Decepticons and his interactions with Unicron. It's an interesting relationship that you don't often see in stories in general, and especially the cinema.
Oh, I enjoy the movie thoroughly. I mean, I really do. The stuff on Quintessa, I enjoy. Like you cited the stuff between Galvatron and Unicron. I eat that stuff for breakfast. I love it. But I mean, for the most part,
I think it's genuinely good dialogue. As someone, semi-trained in dialogue, that's genuinely good dialogue in those scenes. So, say, I mean, it has its highly childish elements, don't get me wrong, and it lifts from Star Wars left and right, but it is a well-dialogued movie, and it does have some interesting character interaction.
Well, he also had some great voice actors that actually added to the actual dialogue, so I think...
And a lot of the writing was snappy. I mean, it really was.
Well, let me ask you guys this. What is the best animated in terms of... plot, in terms of story, in terms of animation, what is the best animated part of the Transformers universe ever?
Beast Wars.
Really?
I love animated so much, but it's too soon for me to say animated, so I'll say Beast Wars.
I think
collectively Beast Wars and Beast Machines.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's take out the technical aspect of, the animation. What would it be?
Beast Wars, Beast Machines.
Really?
Yeah. Writing wise, absolutely. Toy wise, too.
I don't know. Yeah. War Dawn to me just seems to be.
War Dawn, it's one episode, and it's one out of what? How many? 63 episodes from the season?
Well, I'm saying like that. I'm just saying a moment. What is the best moment?
I'd say it's either the Prime Megatron fight of the movie or the Unicron Megatron conversation before he changes.
See, for me, it would be War Dawn and the realization of the time flux and that they saved Prime. To me, as a kid, that was like a groundbreaking idea that I never had experienced.
Either that or it's Code of the Hero. Though I will say for War Dawn, it represented a leap of storytelling for the medium at that point.
Yeah.
To do something that detailed that day in 1980, whatever, that was a big deal.
That are the secret.
They had
of
never
Supreme.
Gone that far in telling a good story before.
It's like that. Ah.
Yeah, maybe the ultimate weapon for Rodimus's realization that Galvatron couldn't have an ultimate weapon, otherwise he would have used it. I mean, if you're talking about sort of like a moment, but I don't know.
That episode. I always feel like that.
I'm a sucker for season three.
Season three is written better in general, but still don't like it as
Web
much.
World's probably my favorite episode of anything
oh,
ever.
Yeah, Web. I'm forgetting all about Webworld. Webworld's fantastic.
All right, guys. Well, I think we've
centuries, mere centuries. Oh, it's awesome.
Oh man, you guys can go down a tangent of memory lane, and we could talk about this forever. Okay, so that ends toy news. Let's quickly talk comic news with our comic expert Ender. And, Brian and Ben Weavum, you guys obviously are a little bit more into comics than I am, but...
I haven't read much.
You guys suck.
UK comic. G2. No, G2, I think, was the last thing I really read in completion, so...
All right, well, Ender...
Good for you.
Say that
I haven't picked up an IDW comic since, I think, like, Infiltration or something like that.
All right, well, Ender,
I'll talk to myself for a minute here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just phase out and you just take it.
Wender, take it away then, so we have some sort of idea what's going on. See what you're fading out here.
Fading out. Oh my god. How am I now?
You're still fading out. What would you do?
I didn't do anything. I touched.
I told you not to touch anything.
I touched nothing. It's the Galvatron impression. That's what it was.
That's better. That's better. Okay.
All right. All right. So I reviewed Tales of the Fallen number 5 this week. It's a Ravage comic, basically. It has like no dialogue in it. They could have just like pulled all the little bit of words that were in this book. They could have just yanked out and called it enough said. It would have been fine. It's all set up for nefarious. Simon Furman is now steering the rest of these Tales of the Fallen, and I'm betting we're going to see mostly nefarious set up from now on. This one especially, at least, is just they resurrect Ravage, and he's running around, and he stops running around, and that's where I assume where he's going to be at the beginning of Nefarious. It probably should have been Nefarious number 1, honestly, especially for when they get collected into trades. It's going to be a shame that this isn't part of it.
Is it any good?
It was good. It's good for a movie comic. I think the movie comic art is really improving. They're finally kind of getting the hang of making these things look like something you want to look at in a comic book. I just think the movie designs were designed to be three-dimensional and in motion, and they do not work in the comics. You're absolutely
agreed 130%.
Yeah, it's just like they just don't function. And they still have problems, but this comic in particular, I think, may actually be one of the best, if not the best, representation of the movies and comics. I wasn't just giving it a passing grade. You know what I mean? Like, it looked like something. It was. They were doing something. It was a little more cartoony, but the textures were done better. Like, the colorist kind of made the detail work rather than making the artist do it. And I'm trying to remember who did this one. I think it might have been Alex Milne. I think he's really gotten sick of the movie comic.
Because
he's done
have.
So many of them. In fact, he drew a version of Figueroa's new designs for G1. He himself drew a version of some of them, but with liquid metal faces. And they look so much better. It like makes everything come together. And he literally put at the end of it, like, sorry I didn't do the faces the way he's been doing them, but I'm just so sick of drawing movie faces. And I think, you know, it really kind of shows here. It works. It works a lot better. We got solicitations for March 2010. You can go on the site and check those out. I don't like to read those on the air just because spoilers are all one thing, but like 3 months ahead spoilers I feel is a little silly. But you can go up on tformers.com and we have those there. And we had the Collector's Club comic, which I quite frankly haven't gotten around to going and checking out on the website. Though I am a member of the club, so I should really go do that.
Yeah, get your butt in gear.
Yeah, I know. Well,
get a job.
Do my job. I
Poor Ender.
I have to pay to read that too, you know.
You have to pay for the sadness.
Yeah, I know. It's like, really? I have to pay you money to go like make my eyes bleed reading these things?
Are they that bad?
You know, honestly, the Collector's Club stuff is usually fairly simplistic. It's usually just kind of pumping whatever club is pumping out that week in terms of exclusives. And
I read the first year and it was nothing but eye ripping out of sockets reading.
You know, and the thing is too, in terms of a critical recommendation, I just feel like if you're not a club member and you're not already reading these things, there has been nothing ever in these I could tell you is worth $40 to go and read. If you want to be, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to be a member of the club and you want the freebie toys, then that may be worth it for you. But if, you know, certainly
freebie toy and discount on BotCon is what makes it worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, cheaper BotCon stuff.
I didn't get my BotCon discount last year.
What?
What?
Yeah, I don't know why. It, like, didn't happen.
Talk to your connections and get your get that squared away there.
Email Savage. Tell him.
Yeah.
All right. I said get around to it. It wasn't worth the time in the end. And then that keeps being true of so many of these things, but
well, when you have kids, I imagine you gotta prioritize, so.
I'm getting less and less stoked about Orange Hot Shot just as I'm talking about this right now. It's just making me want to buy less and less.
Oh, the toy?
Yeah.
Dion. I don't know. I really like that mold, but that's just me.
That's not Dion. It's Orange Hot Shot. It doesn't look anything like Dion. I can't see. That's what drives me nuts. Is all these things are just like
it looks more like Dion than Wheatley did.
True. True. But
I mean, that's I again, that's objective. That
yeah. I mean, that's a little. That's a little vague, Spock.
Ooh, nice reference.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I saw my first Blu-ray movie, which was Star Trek, and I was just like, "Ah, oh, this movie is so good."
Yeah. That's my first Blu-ray movie, but I wish that it didn't exist.
Really?
But, yeah. Yeah.
You don't like it?
I want to love it, but I can't.
Why not?
Wait, the movie or Blu-ray?
The movie.
Really?
I want to love Star Trek, but I can't.
What's wrong with it?
Come on, bring it. Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Because it is the de facto. Because the Star Trek universe that I put love and care into for 30 years, it's not gone in the sense that it can't be, you know, brought back. But this is the new de facto universe that we're going to have for the, you know, time being. And I don't know. I miss the stodgy, boring, you know, debates on, you know, diplomacy and things like that.
You stole that from The Onion now, didn't you?
Yes. No, watching it, I literally felt like the guy from The Onion video. I mean, I don't go around dressed as a Klingon or anything, but I don't know. I don't like the setup. There are a couple things in the movie I don't care for, like how in the heck does Kirk become captain after 3 weeks?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
A series of fortunate events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I totally feel this, and this is what I was saying this to you guys last week. This movie was written poorly, and it was saved by a good director and a good cast and good design, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to love it, but
there was just nothing to hold it up. It looks great. It's got the right cast. It's got the right feel. It's going in the right direction, and then it's like, so what's the story?
You know, if at the end of the movie when they destroyed the Romulan mining ship, had that singularity like undone everything, I would have loved it, but it didn't.
Right. Yeah.
I'll see. I'm not even sure where to begin on that.
I was not a Star Trek fan, so I enjoyed this movie.
So to me now, Deep Space Nine never happened, and that makes me very sad.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
No, Deep Space Nine is the best Star Trek ever.
Oh, Brian, come on. You're breaking my heart here, man. Deep Space Nine was horrific.
No. Captain Sisko is my favorite captain.
That was everything Roddenberry was against. That was a conflict and issues.
You know, okay. I love the original Star Trek. Roddenberry was very involved in the first couple seasons of Next Generation, which were the bad seasons of Next Generation.
You said he was involved in the end?
He was dead at that point, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't. He didn't die till
He died around 6.
Yeah, the 6. Yeah.
He died just before 6 came out. 6 was actually the opposite of everything he ever wanted.
Tapestry is like one of my favorite episodes of Next Gen ever, and that's, you know, that was season 6 or 5 or one of the two. But.
See, I tend to think that, God, I don't even know where to begin. Do I start talking about the movie or whatnot? But, I mean, the dynamics of the movie, I think, is that it's a fast-paced movie. It keeps you interested. There's no pausing unless there's a need to pause.
Absolutely.
For a particular part. It gives you enough character background and gives you enough character development, and it takes you right in the action. A roller coaster ride for all the important parts. Enough comedy that doesn't seem trite, except for maybe the part where he's in the water tank. That's the only thing I thought that they could have cut out.
I don't know, when he had the allergic reaction and his hands were puffed up.
I thought that was great.
I just think time travel is instant weak sauce.
Well, I understand, but quite honestly,
first contact was great, and it was time travel rich.
That's true.
So was 4.
But you know what? It was about not changing things.
Yes, it's like what we've got to keep.
Oh, hello.
Nope, we lost.
Oh. I'm here.
Okay, you dropped out for a second.
I'll tell you what, the Kirk I know would have gotten that wormhole thing working and gone and saved his dad.
Yes.
That's what I think.
But see, I think that adds so much. Now you're dealing with characters that have so much more depth. I mean, we never knew that Spock had these emotional issues. And I think adding that to Spock just builds.
Okay, then you just didn't watch enough. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Never watched the original series. So,
then what are you talking about? We never knew that he had these emotional issues.
Well, I know he had some, but I didn't know he had the effect of beating people. So.
Yeah, you need. Yeah.
To me, sorry.
The original series is on Blu-ray. Watch it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can. Some of those.
And it's awesome. The new CGI they put into it.
Yeah, like I know. That's actually a nice touch where they redid it. The
original series holds up so much better than Next Gen does. Next Gen looks old at this point, but the original series is still kind of fresh.
See, I can watch Next Gen, though, and it's like a trip back with a bunch of old friends, though.
There are a handful of episodes I can watch, but for the most part, the series is just...
And you like Deep Space Nine, Sisko can't figure out how to... I'm bald. No, I have a goatee. Now I don't have a goatee.
It's like me. One day I'm bald, one day I have a beard. It's fun.
It's like being a person without a costume department.
Although I will admit the one Klingon battle on the entire station was an awesome episode, but after that it was just sort of like what's this
Favor the Bold. Like the second episode of season 6 is so awesome.
Yeah, what was the morphing people? What were they called? The Dominion.
They were the Changelings.
The Changelings. Dominion. Was just like, please, just when you put them all powerful.
I just like Garak. I wish they'd given him his own.
Garak is so awesome. In the Pale Moonlight is probably the best episode of Star Trek, period.
What, the Taylor guy?
Yeah, Garak was awesome.
I hated him.
He was part of the Obsidian Order.
Oh, he was so annoying. Anyhow, you know what? We're going to get in trouble from Jack talking too much about Star Trek. So let me bring this around to Transformers again.
The real hallmark of our...
So anyhow.
That's the reason we have a spinoff show, so we can talk about crap like this once we're actually done with the Transformers podcast.
And tell us about that spinoff show, Brian.
No one listens to it, but that's okay. We call it New Soundwave.
Check out New Soundwave, and where can they check this out?
TFradio.net, or due to the interview with IGN where Mr. Craven talked about the Protecticons, you can now reach us at Protecticons.com.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's harsh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you heard about David Wallace from Kal-El Prime.
Yeah, Kal-El.
Was going off on that last week. I'm like, oh, well, Dave, you know, at least he's trying.
Yeah, he's like, we've never seen, you see that big robot there? That's Primus. We've never seen him in robot mode. I'm like, what on earth are you talking about?
Actually, we gotta get Brian and David into a show. I gotta get you're sort of two different sides of the world. We got the country, and then we got the British. And I'd just be darn curious. We gotta see if I can get you two on the last show this coming week. So.
I've never talked to him, so that would be interesting.
He's a good guy. You should cross over. You know, the one thing which I'll go into a whole diatribe on the last show, but you know, the one thing why I started a show.
Can't wait.
I can't wait till I don't have to talk to you anymore, Andrew. That's for sure. But you know, the one thing is that, you know, I started this, it's like you can't be in a box. You have to sort of reach out to other Transformers podcasts and other Transformer fans and whatnot. And that's the great thing. I've been able to talk to Rio Free Cybertron, Moonbase 2, and all the other, you know, ones that have been willing to talk to me. And it's been great because it's just, there's so many different opinions about what Transformers should be. And, you know, that's the great thing about podcasts is you can share those opinions instead of just being the same stagnant group of people every week complaining about stuff. So,
absolutely. And every single podcast except for Vangelis's podcast, I haven't talked to you in forever, Vangelis. You need to get me on your show. But I've talked to every single other one.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. Go ahead.
No, nothing. Hey, Vangelis, long time to talk.
Yeah, I bugged him for a while too. And my feelings are hurt, so
we're still friends on LiveJournal, and I used to talk to him like quite a bit. He used to be a big fan of RFC, but
probably has to do with that he does not like us.
Yeah, that's
his employer doesn't like us.
Yeah. So, but that's that. You know,
that's also another site that we will not name, just like a store that you will not name.
We'll name the site, but I mean, that's, you know, that's stuff that doesn't concern me.
Wow, I'm so outside of all this stuff. I'm just like, yeah, I get out of the headset and I talk about Transformers.
Yeah, I know. That's sort of like, you know, you're
people
like,
just have me on. I never have to deal with anything.
Yeah, it's just, I just come on. I just want to talk to people. But
I love talking to people.
Yeah. It's like, all these issues of, you know, money aside, you know, it's just Transformers. It's a toy line, people.
Exactly.
Don't take it so seriously, people.
Stop
all right, you know, we've all spent like hours talking about it now, and we spend bunches of time during the day thinking about it. I hate it when people trivialize it like that, dude.
Well,
yeah, it is just a toy line. We know that. I mean, but like, don't we treat it as more than that? I mean, isn't that the reason we're here?
I agree with you.
We just ask people to sit here and listen to us for like 2 hours.
No. He's talking more about the petty stuff. He's not trying to make it into something smaller than it really is.
Transformers to me is the best example of imagination from my childhood. It combines the three greatest things I love from my childhood: robots, computers, and puzzles, and great storyline and stuff like that.
That'd be the NES, wouldn't it? With Rob and puzzle games and.
Transformers to me is just great imagination. And I love it for that. But when people take it to the point where it's like, well, I'm not going to talk to you because you don't like Beast Wars, da 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 da. It's just like, come on. You know, it's just.
Okay, that I can understand.
Matt, hit me up on AIM one of these days and I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm all
got the lowdown.
I'm probably just not getting exactly what the deal is here.
Yeah. Well, no, it's part of the reason why
like you
I started
the, original
the podcast.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's one of the reasons why I started the podcast, because I just wanted to have a voice, but I didn't want to deal with all the trite BS that I was dealing with when I was trying to get my voice out there. And that's the great thing, and one of the things I'll be thanking the fans for on the last show is that the ability to actually get my voice out there. And I think that is the key to podcasting, is that you can converse with multiple groups of people across the globe with multiple viewpoints. And everybody could get along. There's no, you know, you can put all the petty stuff aside. And, you know, like Brian loves season 3 and Deep Space Nine. I hate season 3 and Deep Space Nine. But you know what? Brian's a great guy. And I wouldn't think of anyone else, you know, to be turning the reins over to for the next person to take up the, you know, the baton than Brian. So
really, I feel like you should have taken the baton away.
Well, and that's something that kind of openness. That kind of openness is something you've done really well, because I mercifully have never ever had to feel that pressure about getting my opinions out. You have always been extremely welcoming and patient with me.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. It was a compliment. You stopped listening because it sounded complimentary.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm like, wait, someone's saying something nice about me? Yeah, I'm like, what's this crap? No, but I mean, beyond that, I mean, it's, and we'll go more into this on the final show. I really want to sit down. Jason Spark, he wants to sit down and type something. I think I may have to do that too, because it's, you know, trying to stammer and come up with, you know, weepiness.
Then you're going to start crying, and we don't want any of that.
See, yeah, I can't.
I've got a couple of bets on that, actually.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where I'm not crying now, but probably 3 months down the line, I'll be sort of missing it. But right now, I'm dealing with so many things with work. It's just sort of like, oh, I just need a break. I need a break. I need a break. But 3 months down the line, I'll be like, oh, I miss those guys. So we'll see what happens. But beyond that, yeah, I don't get very weepy anyhow, because my father taught me men don't cry, but that's a whole nother story.
Boys can cry, but not out loud. Men don't cry. They only get stronger.
Exactly. Exactly.
Sorry. That's from the Headmaster Dubs. I'm assuming two people out there listening will know what I was talking about.
Hey, props for the Reardon reference.
Yeah. Wow. Good.
So, all right. Well, since this may be, I'm not sure if you're going to be joining us, Brian and Bweevum. I know Bweevum, you have a very busy schedule. Is there any final thoughts you would like to give to the fans out there? If you want to do it now, if not, you can join us this weekend. I'm not sure when the time's going to be.
Well, I probably can't. I probably won't be able to make it. But thanks for doing this. I mean, this is some fun times, and definitely like listening to you guys every week. I'm sure a lot of people, like the fans, also do this. And this is fun that I get to goof off with you guys once every year or to. But other than that, I think thank you for all of your dedicated time. I know this is not very easy, especially dealing with Ender. It's probably not that easy.
Actually, Ender dealing with Ender is the hardest part. So,
18th century French Huguenot.
But it's definitely a heartfelt thank you for all of your time and your hard work. And maybe eventually the tformers.com podcast and RFC will merge to become the ultimate podcast, longest running thing on the face of the planet that turns into something so large that it consumes everything in its path.
Well, you know, if Brian, you might want to talk to Jack and whatnot. I still would like to get a booth at
Jack's podcast. Talking about it.
Okay, if you guys do that, I will definitely make every effort to probably get there anyhow. But I think that is definitely something that we definitely need to do as a live booth at BotCon. So
yeah, I'm already working out the details, at least on a technical end. As far as like merging, I know we want to do like a tformers.com news segment, kind of like a foreshortened version of the tformers.com podcast, maybe 20 minutes or so a week, where we sort of go through the news like we do now. I was hoping that maybe, you know, Ender and Weebum and Jason, whoever, you know, we could even bring in other people, could possibly come in, sort of shoot the breeze and talk about news, kind of like we do now, just, you know, just sort of cut it down a little bit. But I was thinking that we could do that, possibly. I mean, I want to do that. Jack's up for it.
Cool. Well, Brian, I'll leave you to obviously manage all that, but I know the invitation's been extended to everybody, so.
Sweet.
So, all right, Brian.
We had a booth at BotCon. I could sit in a dunk tank.
Oh, there you go. Oh my gosh, for charity.
Oh my god, that would be hilarious.
Dunk Ender.
Dunk Ender for charity. Oh my gosh, that's a great idea.
I mean, people would be throwing stuff at me anyway. We might as well make some money.
Yeah, yeah.
Genius.
Ender,
genius.
That is the best. Pure genius. Oh my god.
That'll
gosh.
Be like part of
that's
the
what it broadcast. Says on the card.
It just says Ender on the front and the back it says genius.
No, Ender. Super genius. Yeah. All right. Well, Brian, are you going to be joining us for the last show this coming week?
If I am in the state, yes, I will. I was planning on traveling out for the New Year's, but that may not happen. So I hope to be there.
Okay. So if not, what are your final thoughts now?
Bacon.
Bacon.
No, I mean, I really appreciate you were the first person to reach out to us when we came back, and we've developed a really good relationship with you. We every single one of us at RSC, we think you're awesome, you personally and tformers.com as a whole. But we've really come to like you and appreciate you and everything you've done for us. So, but you know, next week I should be on and I can sort of expound on that.
Well,
so,
thank you.
You're awesome.
Thank you. Well, you know, I always thought you should be the first one to be doing this. And, you know, when podcasting came, I'm like, where's Brian? He should be jumping on this bandwagon. And he came back. I'm like, oh my God, Brian, this Brian's back.
I was dead for a long time, but
well,
I'm back.
You know, sometimes you got to go wait. You know, I may have to go, I may be busy for 5 years and may come back with whatever the modern equivalent of podcasting may be in 5 years down the line. So you never know. We'll spend
a year dead for tax reasons.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. So, you know, at some point I may, you know, part of me has been considering revitalizing everything and doing like a live studio, but once again, time issues right now are just not feasible. So we'll see what happens. At some point, I may try to become the next Leo Laporte.
Well,
so.
we still got to do. Someday we have to figure out a way to do the Muppet podcast,
that
where we
awesome.
Do the T-Formers podcast, but we have cameras on all of us. We're just all Muppets. I was gonna get like a little Oscar the Grouch one.
There you go.
you mentioned Leo Laporte. I was actually on This Week in Tech this week for the second time ever.
You were?
Yeah, I mean, just they, you know, I was at the end, but they were doing like call-in things, and I got on. So like 1 hour, 41 minutes and 12 seconds, you'll catch me for 11 whole seconds. But it was my second time on. The first time was episode 4 back in 2005.
You lucky bastard, you. I love that show, and he's my idol.
And I've actually talked to Leo like 3 or 4 times on ZDTV and Tech TV too. So
he's
kind of obsessed.
Yeah, he is like the nicest, most humble guy I've ever listened to.
He is awesome. Yeah.
But All right. Well, that being said, this is the Deformers podcast for December 28, 2009. We will be back for our final show recording this coming weekend, and it's probably going to be Sunday whenever Jason's available. So I will keep you guys posted. Want to thank you guys again, and we'll go around. This has been Iron High 1975.
And this is Ender. And we're talking over each other.
He said at the same time. All right, Bweebum, you're next.
This is Bweebum. And I hate vowels.
Ender.
Me again. I'm Ender again, and I'm leaving.
And Brian Kilby.
Hey, I'm Brian Kilby. I like Transformers and bacon.
And bacon. All right, this is Anthony. I'll signing off. Have a good week, folks.
What is it?
It's a robot. But like a... different, you know, like a super advanced robot. It's probably Japanese. Yeah, it's definitely Japanese.
TFormers.com podcast is copyright 2009 TFormers.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Go check them out. MySpace.com/Gravity33. Check out our forums and leave your feedback or send us email at podcast@TFormers.com. This has been an E&I production, all rights reserved.